Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It's 5:18 p.m. on Tuesday, December 9th. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Beagle.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was, our last official meeting, which was November 25th. Any changes or corrections? Hearing none, could I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the executive session minutes from November 17th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion that we approve as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion or questions?
Question, is this in reference to one at a time or all?
The executive sessions.
Yeah, it was the 17th.
Yeah, I'm going to do each of them separately.
All right, thank you.
Okay. So there's a motion and second. Any other discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Dan and Walt approve, and I abstain, and Ben approves, I think.
Yep.
Next up is executive session November 20th. Can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Okay. Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Dan, Walt, and Ben approve, and I abstain as well. Okay. We have an employee disciplinary matter before the Board of Works this evening. Ben Romine is serving as my proxy for this particular matter. By virtue of an appeal submitted by a disciplined employee, the Board of Works has been asked to review the discipline issued. The Board of Works originally provided the employee with an opportunity to be heard previously, and they've reviewed the report of HR. Because no decisions can be made outside of a public meeting, at this time, the Board of Works will determine whether they support the discipline of the employee or not. The review of the discipline issued to the employee in no way waives the employment at-will status as defined in the employee handbook. If the decision is to overrule the decision of HR, the Board of Works shall then determine the discipline to be given the employee. The first decision will be to determine if the discipline of the employee is supported by the Board of Works. Do one of you wish to make a motion to affirm the discipline issued to the employee?
I make that motion.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions?
I got a question. I want to make sure to Marcia. Oh, I got a question. Marcia, some of the disciplinary conditions that were put in place as far as the insurance and as that, are we within the legal guidelines of the city to apply those type of fees to the individual, even though he's suspended after the first of the year for the insurance?
I was not asked that question by Human Resources, so I did not research that question.
That's why insurance policy.
Is that what it is? Then I would go.
I guess when I'm looking at the conditions, I just want to make sure we're within the boundaries of the process and procedures that were legally okay to do that. That's what I guess my...
Well, I think, if HR, again, HR didn't ask me that question, so she must not have had any issues with what she was doing. But I did not review that question. I wasn't asked to review it. And I cannot tell you that off the top of my head. There's no way I could tell you that.
She did check with the insurance company. That is the policy.
Any further discussion or questions?
I did have one question. The notification that's outlined on the second page that says to be provided is within one day of receipt, what happens if that falls on a weekend?
I think those are determined to be business days.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that was clarified because it just says one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any further discussion or questions? Having a motion and a second, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It's a unanimous decision. I abstain. Okay. Next up is the breaker replacement project. Sean, I'll let you go ahead and get started.
All right. As we've been discussing in the past, we have been looking at this project for quite some time. The numbers fluctuated a little bit. We had a couple different options of complete breaker motor operator replacement or a retrofit type of situation where we might have been able to get a retrofit breaker in there that turned out to not be available. The company that was doing so no longer does that service and is not available. We were not going to go with that option anyway, I don't believe. So in front of you I have the breaker replacement for the north substation, proposed at $467,020 is my recommendation. We go with Spectrum's bid on this and approve this purchase order.
Do you want to talk a little more about the benefits of the program?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I have Rod from Spectrum Engineering, Sidley. Can kind of go over some of the more technical details of it, but what I will tell you, what it does is it gets us on this fiber ring that we have coming in at some point, that we can communicate with our substations. Number one, it'll make it safer for our employees. Number two, more reliable, and it opens it up to some possibilities down the road that are real positive things for our electric utility and reliability standard. Rod can tell you a little bit about how the relays can talk to each other and things like that if you'd like, but I'm sure all of you just what you need to know is they'll be able to I'll be able to target issues much quicker, and issues like we had last week or 2 weeks ago on the Monday, we'd be able to tell exactly where the issues are and eliminate those issues.
Hi, Rod.
Hello.
Actually, Sean did a good job there. The only thing I would, a few things I'd like to add there is it's also from a safety perspective. The age of the equipment that's out there now is past its industry standard life cycle. You're looking at infrastructure put on the electric distribution system. You're wanting to get 30-year lifespan out of that equipment. This is approaching the 42-year lifespan on those breakers and everything. So harsh winters like last winter and everything it can cause issues and everything with that type of equipment. So this is you can look at it from a safety perspective as well. It also just upgrades your main components within your system. You have the south substation that you built and everything a few years ago, which has these types of relays and breakers and components in it. You've maintained and retrofitted and upgraded the northwest out by Walmart, that substation. And then with this one, that just gives your other main substation, upgraded to that level, which then allows you to extend the life of the other large major price components in there, being the transformer, just giving it a bit more protection. In the outage situation that you had the other day, it will allow you then to look all the way through your system, where right now you're only limited between your northwest and south substations. With this equipment in place, you would have been able to see all the way around your ring and would have been able to make a determination back to I&M that, hey, there's nothing wrong with our system, nothing wrong with yours. Please look in and see what you can do to restore and get this back up as quickly as possible. So those are some benefits and everything to that. In addition to the pricing on page 5, I'd just like to know, the total project is $467,000, but what you're approving here for Spectrum Engineering is only the $95,870. The switchgear will be bid out, and there'll be a switchgear provider that will provide that component. And then the miscellaneous construction cost will be a contractor to come in here, place that switchgear, take out the old gear, and finish up, and then Spectrum will come back in, do the testing, commissioning, stamp, and sign off on energizing the substation back up.
And tell me again how long the process of the transfer over would be.
There's different ways we can do this. We'll do that through the engineering process to minimize that. You know, if we set it in a complete new location, then the change order can be within a matter of a couple days, because it's just a matter of set everything in place, get the testing commissioning done, cables in, and decommission the old after the new is energized. If we want to set it in the exact same place as the old gear, then, you know, we're probably talking a 2.5 to 3 week outage for that station. But we'll want to time that to say next fall, so that the load is down and it's not going to impact your system on your other stations.
Well, that's what I guess I was going to ask as a bounce back question for you, Sean, is that obviously our south substation is the best, the newest that we have, but our northwest substation is, I think you call it the old dog that's limping.
No, that would be our high school.
Oh, that's our high, I'm sorry, not the northwest, the northeast.
Yeah, the high school substation is going to eventually be eliminated from our system. It's right now it's serving its purpose. It's minimizing outages, things like that. We'll keep it around. Once we get this new switchgear and substation equipment in, we are in a better place if something should happen to that high school substation, where we won't need to put any money into repairing it. We can just eliminate that location completely.
So as a follow-up to that, then, if that northwest substation is down, I'm assuming the south, and probably the south alone can handle the load, but the south at least, and the northeast.
We'll have the north substation down for this project. The northwest and the south, between the two of them, could handle it. But we will still have load on the high school as well.
Okay. Questions for Sean or Rod?
So will there be an outage period, or will there just be a transfer?
There'll be a transfer of load. I mean, there won't be an outage to any customers.
Okay.
There'll just be an outage at that substation. So as they were just talking, they'll have to pick up the load at the other two larger substations.
So you'll bypass it.
Yeah, you'll still have both feeds from I&M at the east and west and coming through your ring. The ring just won't be going into the north substation.
Will this have to be done to the other stations as well?
No, this is the last of the switchgear type of improvements we will need to make. The only improvements going forward, which are probably a ways down the road, would be transformer at the north substation, and then the towers and things that are supporting the wires themselves. Not necessarily an urgent matter.
Yeah. I think Sean's told me basically after this project that he'll be gone when the next big project comes along. So that's how long this is going to be able to help us. So.
Of course, I could win the lottery tomorrow.
That's true.
No, I don't have any questions. I think it's, again, it just stabilizes the quality of service. And again, I think it's important to continue to reinvest in our infrastructure as we go forward. So,
I think just for the safety component, I think this is a great project. Not to even talk about the benefits of the modernization of the switchgear and all that kind of stuff. So, do you have any questions?
I just, the financial side of it, Rosie. I mean, is how this looking to be supported from a financial?
He's got it in his budget, and he has.
Yeah, so we get a discount for cash, right? I'm not bashful.
We'll see how the switchgear bids come in.
Good answer. Thank you.
To be fair, to that point, though, I think it is important to note that because our electric department and past leaders have been wise stewards of our electric department, we are able to pay with cash. We don't have to bond for this large project. I think that has a lot to say about the stewardship of individuals in leadership in the department, as well as individuals in the past that have sat in these seats, some of which are all sitting here right now. So Then I'm assuming you're looking for a motion.
Yeah, and Rod's right. I did read the wrong number earlier. It's the 95,870 is the number. And then the rest of them will be bid out at a later point.
Okay, so we're only approving the 95,870 right now.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, page 5.
Just page 5, yeah. See it?
Oh.
That's okay. Okay, then I will I'm going to give that proposal number on the front page, if that's okay with you, Sean.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we approve proposal number 142CCMU11122014B in the, is it a not to exceed?
Correct, yes.
Okay, in a not to exceed amount of $95,870 as presented. Motion and second. And any further discussion or questions?
Don't you have to bring an original or use one of our copies?
You can use one of the copies. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's the very last page of the document.
There was a couple places to assign. Yeah, I don't know.
Page 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 6. I just naturally go to the last page because usually that's where it's.
So the last page is
our page 7.
Our page 7? Oh, I see. I see. Three. Okay.
What is the last one for then?
That's exhibit. Okay. It's if something's at the added.
Oh, okay.
Marcia, have you had time to review this?
Yeah, I reviewed it before.
Okay, I thought so.
I looked at it.
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay. Okay, so I have a motion. I think I you second it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. You guys okay if I sign off on that or on our behalf? Okay. Thank you.
While I have Rod here. As part of this that we just approved, there's a term, certain terms and conditions that go with every one of these projects. We'd kind of like to sign kind of the blanket terms and conditions for these projects we have coming with Spectrum, with the breakers, the bids for the switchgear, the construction, along with our SCADA project and our fiber project. If we can sign our terms and conditions when we do go back through this, we won't have to do it every project we do. We'll just bring you with the what are the few things we'll bring to you?
Scope, schedule, and budget.
That's all we'll have to bring to your guys' attention. We won't have to have her review them every time because they'll already, Marcia won't have to review them every time. Every contract will be reviewed.
We're talking about this,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Talking about
does this have to be signed tonight?
Does not.
Okay, I was going to say, because I think we just got it today.
It was on the last meeting agenda as well.
Oh, okay. I apologize then. I missed that.
I've had Marcia review it. We've made some changes. And
yeah, she's submitted questions back. We've replied, so.
Okay. It does not have to be reviewed. I would or approved tonight.
They don't want to have to deal with me every single time.
That's
the truth.
So, it just streamlines the process going forward, basically.
Okay.
It was in this last week's, or last time's, this big thing. It was in this right here.
Okay.
So, I don't know whether you guys had time to review it, but it was so bulky I didn't put it back in again.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think you talked to me about that earlier, so.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring it up when Ron was here in case you guys had any questions.
In your terms and conditions, is there a timeline schedule of what's going to happen when? And if, is there a drop dead date to when this is to be done by?
in your terms and conditions?
It would be determined by each specific task.
Okay.
So the terms and conditions basically just in that master service agreement just basically set forth just that. It's the terms and conditions, general terms and conditions, bill rates, everything like that.
Okay.
Liabilities, you know, owner's rights, engineers, you know, those types of things. Each task will have, you know, specific to that, some type of a schedule, you know, that limits and drives that specific request of service.
You would build that timeline for those individual tasks?
Yeah, based on communication with Sean,
okay,
and everything like that, we would build that based on the requirements of the project. Something like the switchgear and everything like that, we've got to look at, you know, timing. You know, you've got to do the design work, there's the bidding process, and then you've got, you know, another, you know, 18 to 24 weeks for switchgear to be built and everything like that. So we'll build that into, once it's approved, build that timeline and then incorporate that into.
And then you'll build it accordingly per task or per project, or how will we be billed for that?
It would depend on how it needs to be set up per the size of the task and everything requested. It may be time and material on a monthly basis. It may be percent complete. It may just be a lump sum if it's a, you know, a 2 or 3 week project to where you start, get it done, and just build the entire thing and complete. That's the advantage of having a master service. Whenever those tasks comes up, it's you fit it to whatever, because it's got all of the, you know, you just select the payment method per what's in the agreement.
So does that take our signature approval for payment, though, correct? It doesn't automatically generate a payment?
No, it does
correct.
Not. You still have to approve the task.
Okay.
And you still have to approve the scope, schedule, and budget.
So basically, instead of two documents every time,
it's just one.
We have one now, and then just one as they come.
Okay. Yeah, it's not obligating you to anything unless you sign the task.
Okay.
All right. Would you like some time to review?
No, I'm okay. I understand. Okay. That's not a common.
Okay. Do you have any issues you want to sit under here? Okay. Someone will make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we go into a agreement that we sign the, again, I'm looking for the appropriate language. Agreement between owner and engineering professional services task order edition. Is that what you're referring
yes.
to?
Yes.
That we sign pre-sign those so that future bids will not have to go through all paperwork.
A second.
Wow, that was lengthy. Said nothing.
Have fun writing that, Sally. Okay.
Repeat that.
That's really mean. I'd ask Rosie to read back the minutes. there's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Thanks, Rod.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Ben, I completely forgot you were down there. No offense. If you want to leave, you can, or if you want to stay there for a quick
time.
You have all the ability in the world, so. Next up is the sign request for 112 North Main Street. And, hi. Thank you. And you are Justin?
I am.
Okay. Okay, you'll probably have to walk us through some of these pictures.
What you'll see is you see a couple pictures of the proposed sign content.
Okay.
You see two existing signs, one a banner, one a metal sign as far as the sign content.
Okay.
And two other pictures that show a partial ladder in there are the existing structure in Columbia City currently. An existing arm that's already supported.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The metal sign proposing to be approximately 36.5 by 36.5. size.
Okay.
The building frontage, as best as I can measure, it's approximately 20 foot by 16 foot tall, 20 foot wide for that unit. Gives us about 320 square feet. The banner will be 18 by 36 inches. By my math, it puts about 1.4% of the building frontage, and then the metal sign about 2.8%.
The SOG committee that handles signage. I believe there's requirements.
That's a great question. I know for the RDC, for facade grants, there is.
Well, I was thinking the Downtown Association didn't. I mean, isn't there some kind of a...
They used to have to go through Pat when Pat was in charge of that.
Of the chamber?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Before they could put any signs up. But I don't know that they're even doing that anymore.
Yeah.
The Planning Commission sent him here.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Before the Planning and Commission.
They give their blessing.
I think they turn it over to us to make a decision, because right. I think it falls under our jurisdiction.
Right.
I believe I was instructed to start here first to get a blessing, then go to the planning to get some kind of permit, and then...
Okay. We're just thinking through that process.
This is bureaucracy at its best. So question for you real quick, just so I'm understanding mm-hmm. you. So I see a banner, and then I see a sign.
Correct.
So am I understanding that you will be putting up both?
Yes, that is the plan as of this 5 minutes. I'm basically renting that facility there at 112 North Main Street to open up a satellite law office.
Okay.
There are two offices and their reception area and a bathroom. Looking primarily to share the office space between three professionals. At this point in time, I don't anticipate any employees there.
Okay.
You'll see there is on the banner, there's psychological services there for disability intakes related to that. I expect that professional to be there 1 to 2 days a week.
Okay.
And then the two law firms that will be there that will be sharing the space could be 1, 2, 3 days a week. That's typically what it is for the other satellite law offices. My main office is in Huntington. I also have office in Bluffton and in Wabash as well. And basically, we're satellite 1 to 2 days a week, sometimes none a week.
So is this banner something they'll put up when they're there and take down when they're not?
No, I'm anticipating it staying up. I'm looking at some kind of magnetic or Velcro adhesive or something to that effect. There's a window vent there that's rather... Yeah, it's a little seen better days, I think. So the banners ideally would be kept up full time. Because I don't know what her schedule will be as far as when she's doing her appointments.
So my assumption is you'll be leasing this building?
That's correct.
Okay. The reason I ask is I noticed there's a broken glass window there.
Uh-huh. I've addressed that.
Okay.
That unit, to my understanding, has sat empty since 2005. I put close to $4,000 or $5,000 into it here. New carpet, paint, electrical, ceiling tiles, HVAC, just sprucing it up, cleaning it up. And I've addressed that with the landlord, and we'll seek the facade restoration grant. In Huntington, my main office, I'm on number two or number three mm-hmm. facade restoration grants. Obviously, the curved glass blocks make it a little challenging to figure out. But and I'll get some quotes in spring, but it's not my building, so it's kind of up to the owner to address that. I'm sure from the mayor's perspective, you'd probably like to see that taken care of.
And ironically, you're here on a wonderful night because we happen to have a Redevelopment Commission member sitting at the end of this table here that I know that they've redone the facade grant program mm-hmm. that'll start January 1st. So
yeah, my goal is to start getting some, get some money rolling in, get this office up and going, and then two, to address the cosmetic part of it come springtime and get some ideas. I have some ideas. I do a lot of real estate and construction stuff, and I have some ideas on how we may be able to get those glass blocks out.
But even if you're not the owner, mm-hmm. you can get a permission from the owner to apply for it.
Yeah, the only issue is when you only do 1 of 4 units, it kind of looks a little weird.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So everyone else has to kind of get on board, and I obviously, it's
the white and tooth.
I don't own the building, so it's not quite my baby to make that decision on. But that's the working theory right now, if I can at least get some quotes set up. And that's what I told her I would do.
So.
I think that'd be part of the permitting process. I think so. I believe so. Well, I'll tell you, from my perspective, I don't have a problem with giving the blessing to move forward, personally. Of course, I welcome comments from my fellow Board of Works members. We were discussing about, since you're not the property owner, how does that work? And I think that'd come out as a part of the permitting process at the planning department, that they would have to give their blessing for you
Correct.
To do something like this. So I don't know if you have other comments, either of you.
No, I welcome you, and whatever we can do to assist, we just want to make sure we're consistent.
Yeah.
So I just need to get where I need to go from here, and how much it's, you can get all that part rolling, and environmental studies or whatever else I need to get done for getting my sign hung up.
Yeah. I think the only little piece of question that I have in my mind is, because that's right off of a state road, I don't know how far the NDOT right-of-way goes. That's my only question or concern.
Well, the sign won't extend past that arm. That arm is 42 inches.
Okay.
From the end tip of that sign to the brick wall, okay. The sign itself will be 36 and a half.
Okay.
So it'll be recessed.
Previously approved.
It'll be,
whatever.
It's all grandfathered in, where it shouldn't even be.
Okay,
here,
excellent. That answers my question then.
All right.
You okay?
I'm good.
You okay?
Yeah.
Blessings.
Okay, now where do I go from here?
Probably over to the county building and planning department.
Kathy Gardner, Dave Sewell.
Okay, yep. Figure that one out.
All right. And if they need the minutes of the meeting tonight, then Rosie can provide them
okay.
the minutes.
Thank you much.
Yeah, she had contacted me about it. I told her since we made a decision, I'd let her know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Justin. Okay. United. just as a pre-comment here, Jeff was supposed to be here to present this tonight. However, it's his birthday, and his wife wanted to surprise him with dinner and stuff. So I gave him the blessing and said, I'll limp through it, and I'm sure Keith and Jeff will do a wonderful job at walking me through this little process. So I have reviewed the supplemental agreement, but I want to give Keith an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about it. Basically, this is the phase, for lack of better words, this is phase two of the long-term control plan process. So.
Right. And Jeff was here today earlier talking to Jeff, and he was not aware that he was not going to be here tonight. So
that's
apparently
correct.
The surprise must have worked. I noticed it in bold print when you sent me the email. I was like, oh, I'm not going to say a word.
Yeah.
I hope he enjoys his birthday. This, as you may recall, we have a standard, a base agreement. And when that agreement was signed, we basically, everybody agreed that, hey, the smart thing to do here is to figure out where we stand in the city's long-term control plan status, how that impacts and looks at thresholds, look at the post-construction monitoring and see how all this all ties together, and then figure out, update as much as we could with the model and such, but then figure out what makes most sense moving forward rather than guessing from day one what may, you know, how to proceed. Back in late October, we presented the findings of that first phase to the City Council, and in that was recommendations on how to proceed with this next phase, and basically talking to Jeff and Mike, that's what this entails, is putting together this supplement to move to that second phase. Hated to not send an agreement to Marcia, but this is a supplement, and she already approved the original agreement. So.
Do you want to see the supplement?
Okay. I assume this is it.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So all the legalese stuff, it's just, and the original contract anticipated and worded for the second phase. So again, it was part of the plan, and basically we arrived at, with Mike and Jeff's help, also what needs to happen in this next phase. In summary, if you look at Appendix A there, that item I there, it tells you what's added to Appendix A in the original agreement, which Appendix A is scope of services. That's what we provide. That's what's identified. So obviously 1 through 9 was in the original agreement, and these are additional. The one thing we talked about was tying all the CSOs together with one survey so that they were all in the same datum. Whatever you enter in this model, it's kind of like any other computer system. If you enter junk in, you're going to get junk out. From everything, we get to determine research, and nobody ever has ever done that. So somebody's made a lot of assumptions in establishing these elevations, and what the model spits out with different option evaluations can vary depending on, you know, if it's off a foot or two, it can make a significant difference, and you may plan for something that may turn out not to work out the way you thought it would in the end. So we think it's really important that that happens in this phase. While we're there surveying, we want to get some measurements inside the structures and confirm that, you know, weir elevations below surface, and so that we can correlate everything appropriately, pipe sizes, and just to make sure that it is, in fact, what's in the original long-term control plan is correct and it's in the model correctly. Again, just to make sure that the model gives us good data coming out and not data that's misleading and leads us to make the wrong recommendations in the city to perhaps make the wrong decisions for the future. That's item 11. Item 12, then, we would take that data as long as any information updating on maps in the GIS department, and we would update the SWIM model that we've already got the base established for. So that's kind of item 12. Item 13, then, we had talked last time that in going through the model, the old part of town had some really unreliable information coming out of it, the way it was set up before, and that typical calibration methods did not bring it within what's being seen and reported to the plant flows, etc., leading us to believe that, you know, the only thing we could do to adjust it was to adjust drainage basins, and which basically means probably the mapping and the basins are wrong. Well, that in item 13 we would dive into that in that area and make it accurate. So that, again, we have a useful model moving forward. Again, item 14, as we move along, hopefully Mike can get it. We'll get more information from the wastewater plants, different rainfall events, different data, and we'll use that to continue calibration too of this model as this process progresses. So that's item 14. Item 15, then at that point in time, we have a model that is believable and trustworthy, and we start looking at, okay, the city has these future two phases currently in their plan. We'll look and see how those in reality with the new model, how they would meet the thresholds that we talked about earlier that you have to meet with the state of Indiana. But then we would start looking at other sewer separation projects, lift station upgrades, other things that options might make more sense, either more cost-effective or even in capital cost, or, you know, that we're proposing right now a few remote treatment facilities. Well, those could bring along a lot of operation and maintenance costs. So we would factor that in. So we'd look at capital cost of any options to still meet these two thresholds that are laying out there, as well as long-term costs and present worth values of those costs, factoring in, you know, what's it going to cost to run it for 20 years, not just what it's going to cost today. So we may come back with options that are, just for discussion purposes, are $1 million more than what you're proposing now to build, but they might cost you $5 million less over the next 20 years, that type of thing. So look at the true picture.
That's the reason why we're going through this process is for that reason exactly.
Right. So we would develop these options. Those options would all be thrown back into this model that now is believable. And we would see how all those different options and combinations of options would allow you to meet the two thresholds that we have to base and judge us by, which is what IDEM and EPA will look at. So, again, item 16 kind of talks about what I already hit on. Those options, we would have capital, operation, maintenance, and replacement costs for any feasible options put together and do basically a financial evaluation based on true costs. Skipping over to item 17 real quick, then we would develop a report for the CSO components that would, if we arrive at recommendations and the city wants to go with, it would be in a format that could be presented to IDEM as an addendum that would be presented to change your commitments as opposed to what you've already committed to.
Right.
The only reason I say if, it will be in that format. But there's one potential third phase I want to make sure we're honest with everybody here is, again, we've got two thresholds here we're working with. One's a one-year, one-hour rain event, and one's a 10-year, one-hour rain event. There are two different requirements. If we meet the upper one, the 10-year, one-hour, that's good. IDEM, EPA's happy. But we will develop options and costs and model results associated with both thresholds, because realistically we could just meet the lower threshold and then submit to IDEM that, but in addition to that, we would have to do what's called a use attainability analysis, which involves some stream sampling and some evaluation of the downstream stream reach that we'd have to suspend water quality standards for during wet weather. So it's kind of an and you would have to evaluate the financial impact, because you would have to prove that that differential to go from the 1 year 1 hour to the 10 year 1 hour would cause widespread economic hardship for the city. So I guess what I'm getting at the end of this phase, we'll have a report that if it's agreed and it makes sense to do the 10-year 1 hour, then we submit it and we negotiate with IDEM and then we move ahead and we're done. It may be that we find out that, hey, we got this option and this option. They're both really good. One of them meets the 10-year 1 hour. One meets the 1 year 1 hour. Then you start asking, well, what's the cost difference between the two? If it's $100,000, then you start looking at the risk involved in doing a UAA and the approval process and how long that could take and the cost associated with that. That's why throughout $100,000, we would recommend, hey, let's just go with the upper one. Yep. If it's $10 million or if it's $2 million, then you have to start really thinking, and we'll help you with that process to see if it makes any sense to do that third phase or not.
The caution part, of course, is that this many UAAs have been approved by the state of Indiana. Right.
We have done several of them that have been been given a letter from IDEM saying, hey, these look great, but we've never approved one before. To actually approve them, you have to go through the Water Pollution Control Board, uh-huh, and then through federal EPA in Chicago,
okay,
and get that, because you're basically asking for a water quality standards change for that specific stream reach,
right?
Only for wet weather. And no, they've never approved one, because nobody. They'll give you the letter saying, hey, everything looks great. We think we could approve this today. However, it's not anything that they will move on until you actually implement the full long-term patrol plan. So you basically would have to get those next, if there are two phases, done, do post-construction monitoring, and then you could go through that process.
For the one year, 1 hour.
If in fact you're only going to meet that lower threshold.
Right.
If you elect to meet the higher threshold at the end of this phase, mm-hmm, then that's off the table and you don't even worry about that anymore.
Okay.
But this will give it, towards the end of this, we'll have the numbers and the pros and cons, mm-hmm, to be able to make that decision, mm-hmm, to make a logical decision. Right now we're just sitting there guessing, to be honest with
yep.
you.
Okay.
The other item on this is Item 17 that I skipped over, we've added in here right now, you guys are looking at along about the same schedule that's your LTCP revision is due. We'll have phosphorus removal, a new pollutant removal on your MPDS permit at the wastewater plant. These items, the LTCP, the CSO activity, and the phosphorus aren't exactly the same, but they do overlap. So talking to Jeff and Mike and the mayor, it makes sense for us to go ahead and evaluate, see where you stand with that and what options are to deal with that at the same time. One, if you go to the UAA, the dollars involved in phosphorus would have the financial impact on the UAA. But two, I mean, it's all coming out of the pot. It's coming out of the same pot of money. So, and you are going to have to meet the phosphorus.
Mm-hmm.
With the flows related to it and how it's impacted at the plants, you know, those, depending on which options you go with, the LTCP will change the phosphorus removal requirements also. So it makes sense to look at them both at the same time. It's a lot less expensive to look at them both at the same time rather than individually. So that's why we've included that in here, is that I think they're on the same schedule, and it's more cost effective to evaluate them at the same time, because they do have some impacts upon each other. So that was kind of added in here because of those reasons. So.
Yeah, and I know already right at the outset, maybe, I don't remember if it was our summer or spring newsletter this year, but I know Mike had somewhere along the line there, you had a article to our residents about phosphorus and, you know, making choices in that regard. But, you know, I guess the question I have, and I've talked to the Farm Bureau a little bit about this, but, you know, obviously we're low-hanging fruit because they can come to our plant, they can dip, and they can say, here's how much phosphorus you have in your, which that's really simplifying it, but versus going to a farm field where there's lots of runoff and saying, well, we're not sure exactly how to calibrate this, and we're not really sure how to judge this. So I guess my question overall here is that, are they taking samples out of our plant, or are they taking samples out of the river, or are they taking samples out of both places to see what's happening? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
They've done some studies, both the EPA and the state. I mean, right now you're doing a report only on phosphorus, so you guys are taking samples at the plant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak exactly on the stream reach what item's done, maybe nothing.
Yeah.
Because EPA is really pushing for phosphorus limits in Indiana. Even EPA samples, back to your thought on the farm fields, will, in my view, it's not money well spent for the environment, but they forgot to ask me. because even their own studies will tell you, they're worried about algae bloom and the impacts downstream and in the Gulf of Mexico. That's what they're worried about, and it is a problem. 90% plus of that problem is runoff from farm fields or urban areas. It has nothing to do with wastewater treatment plants. Mm-hmm. But as you pointed out, you have an NPS permit and you're an easy target. Maybe you don't have as good lobbyists as the farmers do in Washington.
I can promise you don't have as good lobbyists as the farmers do.
On a personal level, I'm not sure it's going to gain much environmentally, but it's coming regardless of what my personal opinion is. And they have set, they are going to set limits, in my view, somewhat arbitrary on what those limits are. And odds are you won't be able to meet them without some modifications to the plant.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
That's the unfortunate reality.
Kind of took a detour there.
That's fine. Not a problem at all.
Do you want to continue to talk about the rest of the document then?
Sure. Appendix C then on item 2, that's the schedule in the original agreement, and this just modifies for this additional scope of work a schedule to have it completed. Then Appendix D, of course, is the nasty financial part of it that we all don't like. And basically we do man-hour justifications for all this work involved in this and arrive at, you know, what we think, what we predict based upon that scope and those items up above, what it would take to get all this done. And that's, as you can see there, that's an increase to the original contract of $73,000. You know, it's a lot of money, but it's a pretty important tool. So,
well, and I think what's important to note is, as Keith and I were talking about earlier, is that you know, the original document he gave us did not have the second or the third or the fourth or whatever, how many phases on it. I was kind of waiting to see how that first phase turned out before pulling this forward. So instead of approving a contract with United for the LTCP of three phases, you know, at $100,000+,
right, which would have been a lot of guesswork for everybody.
Exactly. And we probably would have had supplemental agreements anyways in that original contract. So that's why you see that increase, and it's just an addendum, as it says. So.
Right. The thought, and I still believe it was the fairest way on both sides to know what the true scope was. Otherwise, you're just guessing at dollars. And it may turn out to be that we don't do a phase 3 and 4 as far as this goes. We might be the end of, hopefully we will be at the end of this, but at this point it's not.
And
we've got some communities that is the case. Yeah. City of Wabash is 10-year, 1 hour. They're not going to UAA. Newcastle, Hartford City are doing a UAA. We've done it. They've got their letter saying, hey, this looks great, but we can't approve it until 15 years from now. So.
Okay.
I just lost my last question.
I know. So the timeline that we're currently on under the, I think it's the agreed order, or at least the long-term control plan timeline, I'm assuming that would stay the same unless IDEM decided to change it when we went to them with their, basically our final product of here's the changes we want to make to the LTCP.
Correct.
So we're still talking 17 engineering, 19 construction, and then I think it's 23 engineering, 25 construction, or somewhere around that.
As long as, you know, it might be that we come up with options that, hey, we can do this for a amount of money and do it in one phase and it makes the most sense, and we just do it and be done with it instead of waiting until construction costs go up. I mean, it could be some of that factor, but it'd be the city's decision.
Yeah, right.
IDEM won't object to us doing things faster to meet the
but
goals. So.
But I guess what I'm saying is with the new long-term control plan, they're not going to say, well, now that you have a new one, we're going to bump it back another 5 years or whatever like that. They're going to say, I mean, when we got our two-year extension from IDEM the very first year I was in office, they said, we don't mind if you bump back this next phase 2 years as long as the end date is still the same. And I'm assuming with a new long-term control plan or even a revised long-term control plan, that end date is still going to remain where it is.
Right. So, unless you choose to change it.
Yeah.
Unless there's
bump
some
it up, but
unless
they
there's
won't
some reason
prolong
to do
it. I don't
they,
think.
They will not extend
yeah,
it typically.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And EPA kind of tied their hands on that to some extent too.
Yeah. So. I have spoke a lot, so I apologize. Do you guys have questions or comments or concerns about this? Okay.
This Appendix D is going to be added to the original contract based on all terms and conditions will apply to the addendum, correct?
Yeah, this entire supplement is all the front-end legalese is still applicable. This is just the Appendix A, B, C, and D are again, similar to what the other engineer was saying up here. That's A is the scope of engineering services. B is what the city will provide, you know, which there's no change in that, so that's why it's not in here. C is the schedule and D is the fee. But all the front end, pages 1 through 10 of the agreement are still intact on here, all the legal stuff.
So this is work in progress at this time on the initial piece?
The initial piece is finished.
Okay. And this will be a continuation of that, even though it's finished. This is just
correct.
A continuation.
Right.
Okay. Because I see you have 150 days to complete once you receive the receipt, right?
Right.
Or execute the copy of this.
Okay. Right. Because, again, there's a pretty good amount of work there, as well as a survey thing. We have to put a little bit of time in there because we're going to be trying to get that pulled off here in the winter, so hopefully Mother Nature cooperates. So, which basically means if we get in there in the next couple of weeks and get that done, then we'll probably wind up finishing this earlier.
How does, just if you can simplify, obviously melt, snow melt, is that brought in, or is that kind of a separate side thing from rain? Does that make sense what I'm asking? Because ultimately you're going to have flows into the system, no matter if it's rain or if it's snowmelt. I'm guessing snowmelt is slower than what rain would be unless we had a huge warm-up and then...
And a thunderstorm, which happens at times.
Yes.
You have a thunderstorm with 6 inches of snow on the ground. It's
right.
A bad situation.
Right.
There is really no good way to model that. IDEM requires us to do what a standard condition rain event. And we've got to factor in the dry weather flows, infiltration through leaking pipes, mm-hmm. groundwater levels, and all that stuff. But they really don't address snow,
okay.
just because it's very, very hard to predict.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Hearing none, then I will make a motion to approve supplemental agreement number one between the city and United Consulting with a in particular with Appendix D amended to have a not to exceed amount of $99,000. Right,
that's the total.
That's the total of the
including the original. Yes.
Right with which is an increase of $73,000. Okay. Motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, and we'll get the originals. We all need to sign those.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. And after Rosie attests, you guys can pick up your copy.
Do you want us to tell us where Jeff is? We'll go run this over there.
If I knew, I'd tell you. I really, truly, I don't know.
All right. Maybe we will.
Okay, next up is the application for buried infrastructure, buried telephone facilities. Are we petitioning ourselves, or is somebody else petitioning for us?
Phone
Anybody
phone
know?
Company.
The phone company is? Okay.
This was a phone company.
It was...
Isn't it from Larry Weiss?
Yeah, from Larry.
It's official.
See, I didn't see anything where anybody had signed for anything, so that's why I was asking the question. So, any issues, any comments, questions, concerns?
There's a fiber that runs down the alley now, so all they're doing, looks like to me, is they're tapping into it to extend it. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is happening to be by right beside the fire station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the only request was that they make sure they get street cut permit if or alley they need to cut into the
all the permits.
Mm-hmm. I think they all worked out.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the request.
I don't think there's...
It doesn't even say embark.
Is that an activity number in the bottom?
Yeah.
Is that the same? See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Is there more to the application that we're just missing, or is it...
Oh, there's a card on there.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
Centrally.
Okay. I'm almost wonder as a side... I'm sorry to interrupt your motion. I almost wonder as a side note if we need to have... like one more form or something that they fill in some information or something. I just, like, as I'm looking at this, I'm not sure who requested it or anything like that. I would assume it's CenturyLink since they're the ones that have telephone
actually
facilities.
They do have, I don't think I copied that second page. I copied
the first
page.
Oh, okay.
So it does have a number.
A order number.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. That helps me. Just put the number on it. Yeah, there's Larry. Okay. You're making a motion. I'm sorry.
I'll make a motion that we approve the request from CenturyLink, work order number E672109, as presented.
Motion second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. And... assuming we sign this, these three lines down here, right, Rosie? Yes, it is the 9th. Thank you. Okay, Mark.
The quotes that you had been given were for a new maintenance truck for the park. I got quotes for F-250 trucks from three different Ford companies. And the big thing about this, it would be for four-wheel drive, which we do not have a four-wheel drive truck. We never have. So that would be a big upgrade for us. Several times we need a four-wheel drive. And currently we're down two trucks. A lot of our vehicles and that we've had have been from other departments and kind of been used quite a bit. And the two that we have now are hand-me-downs that do not work any longer. So we'd be trying to sell them. I don't know what we would get for them. But this would be our fifth truck. We've always operated with five trucks, but right now we currently have three, or we currently have four. So.
And just so I'm clear, obviously the four-wheel drive mainly for snow plowing, I'm assuming, but also to, you know, if there's muddy situations or whatever.
Well, we do drive on grass a lot.
Yeah.
And it does limit when we can. I mean, getting stuck is something we do happen frequently, whether it's pulling out our mowers that get stuck. That happens a lot. So we've had situations where we've had a mower and a truck stuck. So it would just be very helpful. Obviously, plowing, that'll be a big help for us, but it's hard to plow with a two-wheel drive.
So are you asking for approval this year or, approval this year for purchase next year and next year's budget?
Yes.
Okay.
We had set aside $30,000 from the CUME fund for this, and this was $5,000 under that.
And as I understand, I was looking at the quotes, Mark, and I was a little confused because obviously Bob Thomas came in, their sale price was $23,677, but as I look at your email, that was not including the cab steps and the brake control. Is that
correct?
What I understand?
Yeah, so it changed the price to $24,180.
Okay.
So the lowest is City Ford.
And they did include those two things in their quote, as well as Tom Kelly also included those two things. Okay.
And what do you have that's not running? You say that they're just two-wheel drive pickup trucks?
One is a utility truck that we've used. We got from the water department.
Okay.
And we use that every morning to go around and clean our bathrooms. We took one of our other pickup trucks and made it almost like a utility truck by adding several drawers around out the outside of the
bedrock. Side bins.
And so now we use that. And then we have an old pickup truck as well that is hardly run. So this would allow, we'd have all functioning vehicles. Realizing in the summertime we have, you know, 6-7 part-time staff. So our vehicles are used frequently from spring through fall where we need that many vehicles just to get around.
So will this be assigned to you, Mark, or to your crew?
To the crew.
Any other questions? I think we've kind of pseudo set a precedent that we like to go with the local, if at all possible. This one, it's a pretty easy decision since they're the lowest bid. So, so if there's no other questions, I will make a motion that Mark is allowed to move forward in 2015 for the purchase of a truck from City Ford. In the amount of $24,054.42.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up are bills. Rosie, I noticed there was two in there. You want to do volunteer firefighter and then, or is that?
Sure.
Is that what you want to do?
First.
Okay, so we'll do volunteer firefighter first. Since you're the budget guy, you know, I don't do that anymore.
We're going to make a motion that we pay the volunteer firemen's account
bills.
Bills in the amount of $22,600.
And I'll second that motion. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Dan and I approve.
I abstain.
And Walt abstains. Thank you. Okay. Next up is the regular bills.
I'll make a motion that we pay the regular bills and the amount of $538,663.29.
Any questions, comments, concerns? Okay. I'll second. Did you get a second? Did anybody second?
No.
Okay, I'll second. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. I'm sorry, guys. I'm losing my head here. Okay. Reminder, we have a special Board of Works meeting on Friday morning at 7 a.m. That is hopefully approving the 205 project stuff. NDOT is, we have to approve that in a timely manner for our friends at NDOT, so that's why we're having the special Board of Works meeting. And in 2014, the final Board of Works meeting will be December 30th at 5:15 as normally scheduled. Department heads, anything for the Board of Works to know? Any projects we need to know about? Okay. Anything from the audience? Okay. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Walt?
No, sir.
I have nothing. Dan?
I'd like to see about putting a request in to look at revising the disciplinary actions that we need to, after this last experience. Hopefully we never have to do it again.
I hope so.
But I would like to see us tighten that up and address some of the issues that came around this last time. I think that would be, and that needs to be updated at this point to make it a little more, well, for both sides. Quite honestly, there's a number of issues that need to be addressed, and I think we found those in this last review, and I'd just like to put a formal request in that we revisit that.
Request submitted. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, I do have a question.
Yes, Walter.
The city contest for Christmas lights?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dan's working on that.
All right, thank you.
Dan and Ben are both working on that.
All right. We're going to be in the process of hopefully getting out there this weekend, and we'll make the announcements. Unfortunately, we're the way the meetings are falling, we're going to have to do that without, you know, after.
Yeah.
But we'll get the signs out here pretty directly. We'll probably have those out by next week, first quarter next week or so.
Before Christmas.
Yeah, we'll definitely get with Rosie so we can make the announcements in the newspaper as well.
Excellent.
I got you a printout. I forgot to bring it up. Showing on the
appreciate that.
Was that a Bob Phillips? Did he start that?
Cameron Freewald. I thought it was Freewald.
Ooh.
I know it's back in that time. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Ben? No? Media?
After the meeting, I got some work.
That'd be lovely. Okay. Then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.